This is Will's Band of the Week for April 10th, 2016. Hello and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett, live in studio.
Hello.
Here we are on a sunny spring day, but it's kind of more like a winter day.
Right? Yeah, it's about, I think it's about 25 degrees outside.
Yep.
Which is unseasonably cool, you could say.
Yeah.
It should be about 50.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So we're getting
kinda,
a raw deal.
Frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, yep. I just got a new bike for my birthday. And predictably, it just got cold and rainy and terrible ever since then. So maybe it's my fault, you know?
Yeah, for getting the new bike.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you have a whole spring and summer to look forward to.
I guess so, yeah.
Utilize that bike. So cool. Good. We have so much this week. It's pretty exciting, isn't it? I think it is.
There's a lot of ground to cover.
And we sort of talked about the subjects we're talking about, but like, nothing in pre-production, right? This is going to be so spontaneous. It's going to be like the old days of FM freeform radio.
Right.
Kind of like that. Yeah. So I jotted down just the subject matter that we should talk about.
Let me take a peek at the agenda here.
Maybe we ought to do the death of the week first. Think so?
Let's get that out of the way.
And then we can move on to more positive things.
And now it's time for of the week.
Merle Haggard
died on his 79th birthday, which is I don't know, it's kind of a symmetry about that. It's kind of nice, right?
Sure. Yeah, definitely. But, not a rock and roller, but a country music legend.
Yeah, kind of like a country outlaw type of a guy. And for people that don't maybe know many or any of his songs, I think his biggest one is probably Okie from Muskogee, which came out, as you search that, it came out, I think, in 68 or 69. And, you know, lyrically, it's really kind of drawing a distinct line between, you know, the kind of Southern conservative people that he identified with and, you know, the counterculture. So I think the, you know, the lyrics aren't anything that I identify with, but all the same, I just really like the, you know, it sounds great. And it's just an interesting look at, you know, kind of what was going on at that time in the United States. So
there's a Rolling Stone playlist.
Uh-huh.
Called the 100 Greatest Country Songs of All Time. I guess Okie from Muskogee made it to volume 2. So, but it's on there. So this is it.
We don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee. We don't take our trips on LSD. We don't burn our draft cards down on Main Street. 'Cause we like living right and being free. We don't make a party out of loving. But we like holding hands and pitching woo. We don't let our hair grow long and shaggy like the hippies out in San Francisco do. And I'm proud to be an Okie from Muskogee, a place where even
even swears can have a ball. We still wave old glory down at the courthouse. And white lightning's still the biggest thrill of all. Leather boots are still in style for manly footwear.
So, I don't know. Had you heard that song before?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess he was not at Woodstock.
No, I don't think he was at Woodstock. You know, later, obviously the first line in here is, we don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee. But then later, famously, he turned into a big pot smoker along with, you know, Willie Nelson. And, you know, we don't let our hair grow long and shaggy. He certainly did. You know, so a lot of these things... you know, I mean, that's, I guess, where he was at that time. And people change, and that doesn't make you right or wrong or a hypocrite. Like, people are allowed to change. So, but I think that's, you know, as far away from maybe that person as he became, you know, that was always his signature song, I would say. If you saw him in concert, good chance he's going to play that as the encore. So,
yeah, I wouldn't have Merle been able Haggard. To tell you any... songs off the top of my head, but I definitely have heard that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, Merle Haggard, Death of the Week. Unfortunately, as we get older and the aging rockers get older, there are more and more deaths of the week, right?
There are. There's another one this week. It was one of the Van Zant brothers.
Really?
But it was not Donnie. And
is Donnie the one who was in 38 Special? Wasn't one of them in 38 Special?
Yeah, yeah. I think that was Donnie.
Okay.
I said that with a little uncertainty. I think his name was, I think Donnie is that one. And it was either Timmy or Stevie or Ricky or Bobby or something with a diminutive ending. He's the one that died.
Hmm. And, oh, you know who else died?
He was in Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Okay. There was another one. A guy who played drums in David Bowie's band.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But he was like not like a consistent member of David Bowie's band, but he was one of those guys that was really highly regarded.
Mm-hmm.
And, played with other prominent musicians. And I don't remember his name, so how's that for music journalism?
Well, anybody that really likes drums and David Bowie and is curious to look it up,
yeah,
free to do so. You know, we've got full-time jobs. We otherwise, maybe we'd have done a little bit of homework on some things like that.
Right.
But
once we get thousands of listeners and they're all premium members, then we can do this as a full-time job. Right?
Right.
I mean, when you think about it, it's great all around with the $0 and the low budget. And, you know, if you want higher budget people, go ahead, listen to NPR or Sound Opinions. If you want those polished people. But if you want the real people, the real rockers out in the street,
right,
that's us.
Right.
Right?
We represent the voice of the people.
Right. Nobody's paying us. No corporate sponsorships.
Right.
Nothing.
Just like a ragtag company softball team, we just do this for the love of the game.
Exactly. Exactly. That's a very good analogy. All right. Now, I could play this jingle several times because we have just a slew of live reports. I think we should start with The Who, right?
That sounds good.
So Barrett went to see The Who, and literally, we have never spoken about it. And as I said to him just when he came over this morning, maybe he's going to say it was terrible. Maybe he's going to say it was absolutely fantastic. I have no idea. So I'm in as much suspense right now as the listeners are.
I'm not going to keep you guessing. I'll just tell you right away that it was fantastic.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went, it was probably about 3 weeks ago, took Wilson, who is 15, and he's a big fan too, but like me, we really don't know anything after like 1975, but conveniently, they didn't really play anything after that, except for
like the Who
Are You,
Who Are You, right,
and Eminence Front. Those are the only two.
No,
and
that's,
I had anticipated that, so I'm like, listen to these songs just so you'll know every single one if you know these other two songs.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they just, ran straight through the hits. You know, I mean, they played everything. You'd have a hard time coming up. Casual Who fan would have a really hard time naming a song of theirs that they did not play.
Yeah, like they didn't omit Baba O'Reilly.
No, they did not. And as far as the performance, well, you know, it was Pete and Roger, of course. They had a second guitarist who was Pete Townsend's brother, which I found interesting. We didn't find that out until the end.
Huh.
They had a keyboardist, a bass player. On drums was Zach Starkey.
Ringo's son.
Mm-hmm. And he was very, very good. I think he's got a really good reputation as a, right? He's not just coasting on the family name.
I think he's legit from what I've heard.
Like a big time player.
How do you follow up Keith Moon, though?
Yeah. You know, you can't really, you're going to fall a little bit short, but he held his own for sure. And then there's one guy kind of in the middle. We couldn't really figure out what he was doing. And, you know, he's sort of like at computers and, you know, touching buttons and things like that. But he never seemed to be singing or anything like that. We found out later that he was the musical director.
And they had him on stage.
They had him on stage.
That's kind of cool, actually, because usually those guys are, in the back.
Right. Yeah, so he kind of, I think that after, this was billed as their 50th anniversary tour, and now it's 51 years, but because they've been on tour for like a year.
Yeah.
And I think, with a production like that, there's just so many little details that the band just don't want to be bothered with. So, so he was on there kind of keeping everything tight and together. As far as the performance of the two that anybody cares about, Roger Daltrey sounded great. You know, there were times when, maybe he wasn't, he'd sing in the, maybe take a lower register rather than reach for a high note.
Mm-hmm.
But during Won't Get Fooled Again, that famous scream.
Oh, yeah.
He nailed it. It was unbelievable.
That's cool.
It was like, if somebody would have said later, oh, yeah, that was a trick. They took it from the record and made it sound like he did it live. I'd be like, yeah, okay. That explains why it was so perfect. That's how good. I mean, it was incredible.
So that they didn't have that technician guy hitting a key on a keyboard.
I hope not. I would really like to believe that he could still do that.
Yeah,
but notably, cool. They did it late in the show because I think, I doing one of those I think is going to make it hard to sing the rest of the songs. And then Pete Townsend did his windmill stuff, and but his voice was really not where it should have been. He said he was not feeling well.
I think I read something in the press around that time that he was having problems with his voice, and they were even adjusting the set list a little bit and not playing one or two of the songs that he would normally sing.
I would, yeah.
So it may have been, hopefully it was temporary and his voice isn't like kind of gone for good.
Right. I mean, he sounded like somebody with a really bad cold. And, there were two songs that they didn't sing that anybody might possibly guess. Magic Bus.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other one? I Can't Explain.
Oh, yeah.
I Can't Explain has got those really high backing vocals. Mm-hmm. Can't Explain.
Yeah.
I think they might have cut that because he'd be like, Can't Explain. So.
Yeah. But they could have some of those other people on stage do those too. Right?
Right.
The high backing vocals.
Yeah. But, I don't know. I mean, Pete's got that very recognizable quality about his voice that if somebody else was doing it, maybe they tried and it just didn't sound right.
Right.
So anyway, I give it an A.
Great.
All the way. It was fantastic.
I'm really sorry that I had to miss it, but
yeah,
a family trip got in the way. So, so now I regret missing that one. And I actually regret not going to see Paul McCartney at Miller Park, like
me too,
3 years ago. I mean, how many times are you going to get that chance? So I will accompany you and Wilson the next time. I bet Paul McCartney will tour through here again.
Right.
I think he will because he loves touring.
Yeah. I think Wilson has said that, if he, next time he's on tour, he'll come. I mean, he's going to play in Chicago.
Chicago at least, yeah.
But for whatever reason, he only played as close as St. Louis or Detroit, that he still insists on going.
Yeah, you'd have to do a road trip or something. That'd be fun. Yeah.
So
maybe he'll play at Brees Stevens Field in Madison.
That would be something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an
maybe
old,
he'll play at the Frequency, like a,
yeah.
like a surprise thing. Like
that's a good segue here.
He could do an alias like Maul McCartney or something.
Yeah.
Right? And then people would have no idea, but then it would actually be him.
Cart McPauley.
Yeah. Didn't bands used to do that? Do they do that anymore? Like the Rolling Stones would come to some town and play a little, you know, practice gig for their tour, in some little club.
You know the Double Door in Chicago?
It's on
like Milwaukee Street?
Yeah.
The Rolling Stones did that there like in the early 90s.
I saw
I don't know. I'm sure they still do that. I mean, it would be, it would be fun, I would imagine, after, so you're together for 40 years, 30, 40, 50 years, and now you're playing just arenas and stadiums and stuff. And wouldn't it be fun to be like, I remember back when we used to just play these little clubs, how much more fun that was. Let's do it,
Yeah, absolutely.
So, bands would have the same reason for doing that today as they ever had. So I can't imagine that that's not common. I just never hear about it. Maybe it's because we're not like in Chicago or places where that would likely happen.
Yeah, I think when we were in, a few years ago, we were in Denver and we went to see Jack White at Red Rocks. And he played a surprise gig in the afternoon at some gas station or something.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Right?
Or here's an example. When Jason Mraz played at the coffee shop.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of his music or anything, but for a certain, group of people, that was unbelievable that happened.
I mean, and of course, that brings up the dream that we always talk about. 38 Special plays at the bar across the street, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they come over for a little acoustic set at the coffee shop.
Yeah, totally.
Can you imagine when they launch into Hold On Loosely, the crowd in the coffee shop would just be, it would be like a lifetime moment.
Yeah.
Right?
You know what would be cool is if, they're like with acoustic guitars and maybe fake mustaches and stuff, so nobody knows who they are. Because if they weren't disguised, it would be a mob scene.
Right.
But they're just kind of quietly pick out those first couple of chords and Hold On Loosely, and then everybody's heads would shoot up.
Right. It would just be
can't be.
What
but
is happening?
And it is. Oh my God.
Yep.
It's happening right in front of me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe they'll, incredible. We should also get them too to play the our Indy 500 Fest.
Sure.
Wasn't that what it was going to be called?
Yeah.
We're going to do it at the racetrack.
And there's going to be 500 bands. Yeah. And
why don't they do that for real?
And it's so
Indianapolis
big.
Indianapolis is a good location.
It's a very good central location.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of sports tournaments there,
mm-hmm.
and people always say good things about it. So that we'll Indy 500 thing, that should happen for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So all right, continuing with the live reports. First, we'll mention the show that we did not go to, and that was Quilt, right? And we kind of spoke highly of them on the podcast,
mm-hmm.
and then they came to the Frequency, but frankly, sometimes you just have to admit that you're an aging rocker,
mm-hmm.
okay? It was a show with two openers, and it started at 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Now, I think that I might have actually gone if I had, no obligations the following morning. But, I had plans in the morning, and I would have just been dead.
Right.
So
once I heard the time, I never considered going at all.
So we failed to see Quilt. We're going to assume they probably put on a good show.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at the Frequency, which is cool. And we always say this, but the Frequency is like going to see a show in somebody's basement or something.
Right.
It's totally like hole in the wall,
mm-hmm.
but kind of in a good way. They've got a good sound system. And
yeah, you texted me a picture or emailed or whatever. Of taking the pro concert goers position over there.
Yeah.
Like audience left side. With your beer on one of the
I set
speakers.
My beer was almost on the stage when I sent you that photo.
Which is, that's another nice thing about Madison, too. If you see a band in a big city, there's so many more people that know about the band that the venue is just going to be crowded.
Right.
But in Madison, you can see, surprising vantage points.
Yep. So I wasn't a complete failure. So then I did go to see Yuck. And my wife accompanied me. So she likes rock and roll, you know, but it's just mm-hmm. like it takes a little more motivation. And like when they're when it's later, she's kind of like, oh boy, I don't know if I want to go out and stay out late. And but she likes Yuck. And we went out and met some friends from New York. And then it was a perfect transition because he got done eating and we just went over and saw Yuck.
Yeah.
So it was very cool. So let's see. What am I going to say about Yuck? They played at the High Noon, which is a little bit bigger venue. And unfortunately, they didn't have that big of a crowd. Like the crowd in there probably could have fit in the frequency. There were maybe, I don't know, 50, 60 people.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt a little bad about the lack of a big crowd. And I think, you know, it kind of made me think. Individually, if you're thinking like, are you going to come through Madison to play for 50 people, you'd say just forget it. But I think we are benefiting from a couple things: good promoters and also just the convenience. If you're coming from Minneapolis and going towards Chicago, why not stop in Madison, right?
Right.
But I think Madison should have I would have preferred a bigger turnout for Yuck.
Mm-hmm.
It is Yuck version 2, and I've talked about that before. They're not quite the band they were earlier with Daniel Bloomberg, I don't think. Also, their drummer, their regular drummer, was not with them, and I don't know, they didn't say anything about it. So, a couple of the cool things they did, they played some very good versions of their older songs, and a couple of them they had the bass player, Mariko Doi, sing them, and it worked really well. It always made me think, why didn't they have her sing more? And when she sings more, I think it's very good.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, solid, good, fun.
Good.
And then, because I'm a rocker, I did make it two nights in a row. So then I took my son Reese and we went to see Sunflower Bean the following night. And that was at the Frequency. That's where I took that photo of the beer.
Right, I was realizing my mistake there.
Reese wanted to go mainly because of the opener called Weaves. Weaves is a Toronto band that has their album coming out, I think, in June, and they've got maybe a couple of EPs and things. So we're totally on the cutting edge with this band, Weaves. So when everybody says Weaves is cool in June and July, just remember you heard it on the Will's Band of the Week podcast way back in April.
Okay.
Interesting band, fun band. They've got a lot of variety in their sound. And the singer's good. So let's just say that much. So check out Weaves. Sunflower Bean. So we've talked about them. They kind of have a variety of styles. And it goes from the sort of twee and a little shoegazy to the like harder rockin' and psychedelic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the twee and the shoegaze stuff works a lot better. And when they turn into a... like a psychedelic hard rock band, I don't personally like it as much.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of liked about 60% of the music probably. But they're a pretty polished band. I think I've read that they played, you know, 100 gigs or something in New York before, mm-hmm. you know, they launched their album and their tour. So here's the other thing about Sunflower Bean. Their singer is a model. And, you know, anybody can just say they're a model, right? But right. She looks like a model, like a glamour magazine model.
Mm-hmm.
It affects how you see the band.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just say that much.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I think, like, people are thinking that when they're watching the band. And it's kind of like, you don't say it, but you're thinking, I'm watching a band. It's like watching a band like Scarlett Johansson is the singer.
Right.
So, you know, I think for some people that might be a negative. I'm not going to call it a negative. So
right. Yeah, I'd imagine you're just sitting there like, oh, who looks like that? What's the...
yeah. And at one point she jumped into the crowd. I mean, she's definitely totally into the rock and roll. Mm-hmm. So she doesn't... You can see a person like that and think they're like a poser or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she seemed pretty genuinely into the rock and roll. So... I'm going to give a general positive to Sunflower Bean.
Sunflower Bean.
Yep. And, I failed to see Alex G. Did you go over there?
I went with Wilson, and then we cajoled Wilson's mom into coming, too. who's also my wife. It's kind of a weird way to introduce that, but we got in. We were kind of in the in a different area. They were playing at Union South in this room called The Set.
Yeah,
and we got in while the opening band was playing. I have no idea who they were, but they looked not real enthusiastic about being on the stage. So we just went into a whole different part of the Union, and just Red and Wilson like playing video games and stuff.
Uh huh.
So we came back during Alex G, and weren't really sure who it was at first. I was imagining that he'd be up there kind of playing by himself, you know. Like if you go see somebody like Kurt Vile, you just kind of imagine he's just up there like with his guitar. That's what I was expecting.
Uh-huh.
But there were probably five people on stage, and he was all the way over to the right in a very unassuming position.
He didn't want to take center stage.
No. In fact, and he was also kind of pointed inward, so you're getting a, kind of like a profile of him, and it's like, wait a minute. I kind of remember what he looks like. That's him right there. And, you know, so once we figured out who it was, settled in and listened to it. And he, like, much like on the record, he's got kind of that, you know, scruffy, not trying too hard, again, with the Kurt Vile. Maybe that's like the new Philadelphia sound or something. But underneath all that kind of, you know, like, kind of a practiced attitude of not caring, you know, is just really solid songs that you can't help but be, you know, very, very impressed by. So we like that quite a bit, and Wilson cajoled me into buying him the LP, which he then got signed.
Oh, cool. Good.
Yeah. Oddly, though, he was not the headliner. It was Porches.
Oh, they had Porches play as the headliner, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was surprised about that. And they too were good enough that Wilson talked me into buying him the LP for $20. I got it. You know, and it occurred to me, I remember wanting the Clash London Calling so bad when I was like, I don't know, like 16 or 17. I think I was 17. And, you know, I had to wait until my birthday. And then I got it. It's like, wow, great.
The kids these days.
Kids these days just like.
They just get it.
You know? Like if Reese is like, oh, Dad, I really like this band. Will you buy me a t-shirt? Like, oh, all right.
As a matter of fact.
You want to encourage.
Reese got a Weaves t-shirt. Yeah.
You want to encourage the fandom.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, I don't know if this is really good parenting.
Well, you know, this is also the way you support bands now, too, though. So I think that's true. That's what always kind of puts me over that side of the thing, because, you know,
mm-hmm.
if they like it well enough to buy a shirt, then they're probably not making any money by touring. I mean, they're getting by and they're able to tour, which is cool. And, you know, by us downloading their music from a streaming service, they get like 10 cents or something, right?
Right.
But if you buy a $20 t-shirt, I'm sure it doesn't cost them more than 10 to make it, so they're making a little bit of money.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Or an LP, the same deal.
Right.
So, it's cool.
Yeah.
It's good.
And Wilson gave a very, very good description. He thought they were kind of a cross between, and I have to agree with it, between DuckTales and the Human League.
Oh, yeah, with the synthy stuff.
Yeah,
I saw them.
Very 80s.
You know, they have a, the singer dates the woman from, Frankie Cosmos,
yeah,
Greta Klein. So mm-hmm. when they came to town, what, a year ago or so, maybe, Porches opened for Frankie Cosmos, and she played bass for Porches, but I think that was just like a temporary thing. So, but I liked them, and I listened to their new album, and I couldn't get really excited about it, but I think I would have liked them live. Mm-hmm. I liked them a year ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, Wilson has the LP, and it came with a download card, so I think I'll be hearing a lot of it with Wilson being into it. So yep. I'll give a report.
All right.
On that at an upcoming date.
Cool. All right. So the live reports are just going wild, aren't they?
They are.
That was pretty good. Like, have we ever had that many live reports?
No, never.
I don't think so, because we're aging rockers. I am going to go see. This is just a little preview. I'm going to go see Bob Mould in 2 weeks. And then Savages in May. And, well, those are the ones coming up soon.
Yeah. I've got...
I think
I'm going to see Courtney Barnett on April 28th.
Where's that?
That's at the Riviera in Chicago.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
And you know who else is coming that we might want to consider going to? Beach Slang.
Yeah.
I'm playing at the Frequency.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd do that. Is it... Well, with some caveats here. Is it a weekday thing starting at 11 at night?
It's a Sunday, but it starts, I think it starts at like 8 at the latest. So it'd probably be,
nice.
Probably be over by 11.
Right.
See, and that's the thing. We can go see a band and they can finish their set at 11 and I can be in my house at like 11:10.
Right.
That's pretty good. I mean, that's if I drive. If I take public transportation, then it's
right.
Half an hour. I've driven
with this guy too. You like to drive fast. You're the fastest driver that I know.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'm not talking about on the interstate because everybody drives kind of fast, but just like around on the city streets. We were getting a ride.
I didn't know I had that reputation.
You and Maya were in the front.
And we're just like
Cooper.
JJ
and I were in the back. I think we were going to wherever, Old Fashioned or something. And driving down Regent Street, JJ and I are looking at each other like, holy shit.
You guys are getting like knocked around in the back.
It was like very, quick on the acceleration. You don't mess around when you're driving.
That car tends to encourage that kind of behavior. Yeah. All right. Wow. We are just rocking. We're totally rocking. I don't even know what's next. There's so much stuff here. All right.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Barrett has a feature for us this week. Mm-hmm. And I was very worried about this assignment. But I think I came through with some decent choices. So why don't you introduce your feature?
Okay. I was listening to the soundtrack for the movie Wings of Desire. You ever seen that?
Name sounds familiar.
Yeah. And one of the songs on there is "The Carney" by Nick Cave. And can we just play that and then?
Sure.
Then I'll introduce the theme after that.
Okay, that's not the carnival you want to take your little kid to.
No.
That one's a scary one.
Scary carnival.
Yep.
I had Wilson in the car because I had picked him up at school, and I was like, listen to this song because it, I said, this sounds just like this. JJ kind of like wrote this song that sounds kind of like that. It's just like this little thing she's always kind of played. Like, I think this is the unconscious, inspiration for mom's song. And Wilson said, Dad, that's just because it's a waltz in a minor key. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, well, never mind. But then it got me thinking about how similar those waltz-based kind of 3-4 songs can be. And I thought, why not have a feature, right? So I did a little bit of research and found a bunch, and then contacted Will. And you were a little reluctant, like, ooh, I don't know. I'm not sure I can find any. But
there's not an obvious way to search for it, because, you know, you can't search your music library by time signature.
Right.
So I thought, am I going to actually have to use my brain and, like, come up with stuff? And you can search Google for, like, waltz or rock music in 3/4 time. And I actually came up with a couple of, like, ideas that I could pursue by doing that. But then I also went through, just started scrolling through artists on my music list and trying to think, is there anything? And that's hard to do, though, right?
Because
you're trying, in your brain, you're trying to, like, combine, like, that concept of 3/4 time and a band. Like, a band that we don't have on our list at all here, REM, they've got several songs that are in 3/4 time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, the first one that comes to mind is Everybody Hurts, but I don't think that's one of their better songs. So I'm like, okay, we're not playing that one. But they would use that time signature on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
But rock music is generally it's a 4/4 kind of a genre.
Right.
Right? So, yeah.
But it's got a certain feel that's I really like. Another thing that occurred to me is I don't know that everybody knows what time signatures are and what the numbers represent.
Yeah, I think
as the resident musician, why don't you do your best to explain it?
Well, first of all, I will say that I honestly don't know the difference between 3/4 time and 6/8 time or 12/8 or whatever.
There is very little difference.
So basically, it's just, can you count it in threes or fours, right? Mm-hmm. So most rock songs, if you just do a little count as the song is playing, you're going to do a some form of a 1, 2, 3, 4.
Mm-hmm.
But this waltz or 3/4 time, you'd be counting in threes.
Right. And when it's a classic waltz, like the first note of the measure is like the key, and then so like with the Carnic, it was like do 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 do. It's like two higher ones.
Yep.
But as you'll see when we play these selections, it's not always, that's not necessarily the defining characteristic of all 3/4 songs, but it is of the waltzes. So did you have one that you wanted to start off with?
Sure, I'll play one. This is probably well, I've got one that's an absolute classic and one that just a song that I love. Let's go with the classic. The Cocteau Twins and old classic 80s album called Treasure, which was one of my favorites back then. And the opening track, it's one thing I found, and this, you're going to find a theme in my selections. I found that there's this like 80s gloom 3/4 time thing. it's like it's interesting way to use the 3/4 time. So this is Evo by the Cocteau Twins. There's a 3/4 classic for you.
Yeah. See, you were talking about the difference between 3/4 and 6/8. That to me definitely sounds like 6-8. It also sounds like, you know, 4-4 with kind of like triplets, you know, which is the same thing. It's just sort of a different,
different
way
it's
of
not
thinking
as,
about it.
It's not obviously waltz.
Because you can, when I was listening to it, I was thinking 1-2-3-4-5-6, 1-2-3-4-5-6.
Yeah.
But you can also slow it down to be like 1-2-3-4 with like 3 fitting into each bar of 4. And you'll be able to do that same thing on some of the other songs. The ones that are like the Carney sound really hard to think of anything but threes.
Right. Yep.
So I think that's kind of the difference between the 6-8 and the 3-4.
What do you got next?
So let's see. Well, I'll play one. A lot of these rock songs that are in 3-4 time and kind of waltz. You actually have waltz in the title. One of them is the band played Waltzing Matilda by the Pogues.
When I was a young man, I carried my pack, and I lived a free life of a rover. From the Murray Spring Basin to the dusty outback, I waltzed my Matilda all over. Then in 1915, my country said, son, it's time to stop rambling, there's work to be done. So they gave me a tin hat and they gave me a gun, and they sent me away to the war. And the band played Waltzing Matilda as we sailed away from the quay, and amidst all the tears, the shouts and the cheers, we sailed off for Gallipoli. Now those who were living did their best to survive in that mad world of death, blood and and for 7 long weeks I kept myself alive, though the corpses around me grew higher.
The Pogues.
The Pogues. We've never really talked about the Pogues.
We probably need to talk about them more, right?
Yeah. When I was about 21 until I was somewhat older than that, they were my favorite band by far.
They were definitely one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Cool band.
But I love that song too. Little history, World War One history lesson in there too. That's in that one's really hard not to think about it in the threes instead of the fours.
Right. You picked more traditional waltz rhythms than I did.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that doesn't mean I'm cheating.
No, not at all.
All right. I'll go to another one. I've got this is the fun thing about this is I get to play these things that I wouldn't have had an excuse to play otherwise.
That's kind of how I took this, too.
So, there was a really great shoegaze album. I think it was kind of a pioneering album of the shoegaze genre by a band called Lush in 1990. They came out with this album called Gala. And interestingly, they're reuniting now as Aging Rockers. And they've got a new EP coming out in a week. They released a single in advance of it, and it's in 3-4 time. Can you believe it?
Wow.
Yeah.
Timely.
So people can look forward to that. But the Gala album was really great, and this is one of my favorite songs on it called Thought Forms.
I'm not the same.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Did you have that album or know that album back then?
No, the only one I ever had was Spooky, which I really like.
Yeah, that's...
That's a couple of years later.
Yeah, right. Cool band.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to seeing what they do in their new incarnation.
Yeah, I'd love to go see them.
Yeah, they have published their some limited tour dates that don't include Madison.
Not surprising.
Yeah, but they might come by. I think they've confirmed a Chicago show, but that's as close as they've said so far.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, cool. That's my kind of waltz, right?
Yes.
There. Kind of a, whatever. Describe it however you wish. All right, you've got way more varied selections than I do.
This would take a long time to kind of play all of these.
Yeah.
So I think I just want to kind of demonstrate how the same song can be in two different time signatures.
Yeah.
And when you don't think about it, it's hard to describe why they sound so different. Well, first of all, here's the comparison I'm going to make. It's the Beatles doing A Taste of Honey from their first album, and then a really cheesy Herb Alpert version.
My parents had that Herb Alpert album.
Everybody had that.
Yeah.
That's Whipped Cream and Other Delights.
Yeah. I think you mentioned that once before.
Go to Goodwill, St. Vinny's, whatever, equivalents you have in your part of the country, your world, and you're going to have that. That and Going Places, which is the one where he's like in the biplane with like the... There's like the model sitting.
Yeah, I think I remember
that
one.
He's got like
a scarf. Yeah.
You can't even imagine how big he was in like 65 and 66. He had 5 albums in the top 20 all at the same time.
Yeah, and this guy playing pop songs on a trumpet.
Mm-hmm. So to play a tiny bit of the Beatles one and then the other one, and then the listeners can... Just think about the threes and then the fours when you play the other one.
Okay, here's the Beatles version of A Taste of Honey.
A taste of honey, tasting much sweeter than wine. Do-do-do-do, I dream of
so, unmistakably,
first kiss
waltzy sounding.
Yep.
Play the other one.
Okay, and Herb switches it to 4/4, and but the bass is great. Listen to the bass on this. That walking bass line. Yeah, that's 4/4 time right there.
Which, when. Wilson actually bought that album at a flea market type thing or whatever, and because it's such an iconic cover, and he's playing it, and JJ's like, and Wilson said, "Oh, this is A Taste of Honey." JJ's like, "I don't think that's the same song." We couldn't figure out why. Like, why does it? It is so different. What's the deal? And it was only when we started doing this that I realized, he changed the time signature. So that's...
Yep. I had never heard the Beatles version. I only knew the Herb Alpert version. So it's funny going back and you were telling me how the time signature was different. Yep.
So if we've done our job here, now you will listen to music and always be trying to figure out what the time signature is.
Yeah.
So most things are going to be in 4/4, and it's kind of written like a fraction. So it's 4 beats, that's the number on the top or whatever. And then 4 represents the quarter note getting the beat. So it's like 1, 2, 3, 4. That's how almost everything is.
Yep.
But, 3, 4, and 6, 8 are, just have a different kind of a lilting feel that I'm surprised it's not used more often. Because I really like it.
Well,
maybe people just don't think of it.
This week we are clearly an education podcast also,
mm-hmm.
right? So I have to play this one more. I just have to use it because I came up with it, okay? It's the band and also the Trees. Did we ever talk about them?
Mm.
They were this gloom band from, I think they were from England somewhere in the 80s. And they have this, this is one of their songs I really liked a lot. It happens to be in 3/4 or maybe 6/8 time. It's called Scarlet Arch. Now, you wouldn't play that as your wedding waltz dance, probably.
Probably not.
Unless you had
no.
a, like a wedding with a black dress and stuff, and you're like a goth gloom person.
Right.
Right. In that way, it would be cool, though, right?
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was my 80s gloom example.
Then some other famous ones would be like, you know, The House of the Rising Sun.
Right. Yep.
By Animals and 3/4 and Norwegian Wood.
Right.
And... You know, the actually, Wilson, again, just because I think it's because he's an orchestra. He just thinks about the music differently than I do. But he pointed out, he's like, oh, the first song on that last DuckTales album is in 3/4.
Right. Yep.
So.
And also on the Always album that many of us loved, there's a song in 3/4 time called Dives.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody check that out.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think it makes... listening to music more fun if you can just kind of be thinking about it in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And then there are bands that use really complicated time signatures that make it even kind of hard to, as a listener, they make it challenging because you can't predict in your head when the next beat is coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why 4/4 time is so universal because
right.
It's predictable in your head. You know when that next thing is coming.
Right.
But
some bands will really fool around with it and play like one measure of something in, you know, 4/4 and then play one in like 5/4 and, you know, then you get into the math rock kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you know, there's that, that jazz song Time Out. I think it's by, who is that by? Is that like Dave Brubeck? That's in 5/4, which you're like, how does 5/4? That doesn't even make any sense. But then when you listen to it, it's like, oh, yeah.
Can you just count to 5 then?
Yeah. It's yeah. Really, yeah.
Yeah. And I've heard bands do like 7 where they cut it off one before you think the measure is going to end.
Yeah. 7/8 time. Which
yeah.
I remember that from when I was in band and stuff, but I can't picture it in my head. I can't like imagine what it is.
Yeah.
Wilson was like, oh, it goes like this, bah, bah, bah. But I can't wrap my head around it.
How about if you had like 13/6 time or something? Could some jazz person do that? Is there some jazz academic and you can just give them any two numbers and be like, oh, sure, that'd be like this.
Or, yeah, 1/1 time.
Yeah.
One.
It's as basic as music gets, right? Yeah. All right. Well, I don't think I can really do a podcast without talking about some new music. So are we cool with that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear this album by Japanese Breakfast?
I did not.
Okay, good. Let's just play it then. See what you think. It's a one-woman project. Her name is Michelle Zahner, and I'm pretty sure she's from... Now, I think she moved to Brooklyn for indie rock stardom, but is from somewhere else in the East, like maybe Philadelphia. This is pretty good. It's a short album, like 25 minutes long, 9 songs, and... the band name is Japanese Breakfast, and the album is called Psycho Pomp. And let's just start with the first track, which is called In Heaven. Japanese Breakfast.
Yeah, that's nice.
It's got a poignant backstory. Her mom was dying, and a lot of this was written at that time. And so when you can sort of have let the lyrics creep into your head, you can see how they can relate to that somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think it's a very good sort of poppy shoegazy thing. There's one song that is like the super poppiest song. So I think some people would say that it goes too far to the sugary pop, and other people will say it's just a good catchy pop song. I'm going with a catchy positive on this, but let's see what everybody thinks. The listeners won't be able to tell us, though, but you will be able to, Barry.
I'll get my opinion. I think it stays just on the right side of that line that you described.
Yeah, it's sugary pop, but it's got...
Yeah, it's not like treacly.
Yeah.
Cloying. It's just right. Pushes up. It's getting close, but it's fine.
Yeah.
Good.
So, interesting thing. I found there's not a lot on this band when you search around like for videos and stuff. They haven't played live that much because it's a one-woman project, but she has put together a band. I'm not sure if they're planning on a tour, but you'd think they would. This album is getting a fair amount of attention. But I found a video of them playing that song a couple of years ago as a band, and it was like half speed. It was just fascinating. Yeah. You could sort of see the song, you know, in the early stages and then infer that later they were like, no, we got to pick this up and make it faster.
Right. Wow.
It was pretty interesting.
That's
fun.
So
here's one more. It's called Heft. There you go. Japanese breakfast.
Yeah, nice.
So check it out and hope they come to a city near you. I bet you haven't listened to the Goonsacks, have you?
I have. As a matter of fact, I have not.
You know what? I got to play this because there's a great trivia thing about this band. I want to see if you pick up on it, okay?
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. There's a band called the Goonsacks. Sax is spelled S-A-X. Called Up to Anything. I'm going to not tell you anything about the band. I'm just going to play this song. It's called Target.
Couldn't work at Target. The only color shirt I wear is blue. Couldn't work at Target. I'd stand around and think about you. I wish I never had to let you out of my eyes. Forget about it, I wrote it out a thousand times. I'm ready to go out, 'cause this is all I wear now. I'm ready to go out, sometime, somewhere, somehow. St. Andrew's Hospital. And I forgot what we really came here for. But now I feel as though I'm breaking my own heart. Why am I careless with the one thing I care about?
Okay, do you have any comments?
I was trying to figure out what you were getting at. Was it the Stingers and another band? And I thought it sounds like a, I don't know, it sounds like a combination of David Gedge and Shane McGowan. Then I thought, what, did Target use this in a commercial? probably not.
No.
Those are my only guesses.
All right. They're from Brisbane, Australia.
Okay.
And
oh wait, no, I know what this is. This is Robert Forster's son.
You got it.
Yeah. Okay.
Doesn't it sound like Go-Betweens Jr.?
Yeah, totally. That's yeah. Okay. Yes. Very interesting.
Yeah. So it's you know, his son is like 16, maybe 17 by now. So these are very young people, and it's a pretty impressive album for people that young. Mm-hmm. It's a little raw and not completely consistent, but some of the songwriting is just really good, I think.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Kind of takes after his dad,
I guess.
So we'll play one more little snippet, and then the listeners at home can follow up if you're interested.
And that, you know, it does sound like the Go-Betweens, but more specifically, like a Robert Forster song rather than a Grant McLennan song.
Right. And I think the whole thing sounds a little more Forster-ish, but they do have a second guy who sings, which is really funny. It's like he's the Grant McLennan guy.
Yeah.
But he's not as polished and smooth as Grant McLennan was. But pretty cool. So here's one more called Boyfriend. Isn't that totally Go-Betweens sounding?
Yeah, totally.
It's kind of cool, I think, when the way that, you know, he takes after his dad as a songwriter, but it still doesn't sound, it sounds still original enough.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Pretty cool. They might have a good future.
I assigned Nicholas to go see
the Goon Sax.
The Goon Sax.
Yeah, he should.
Brisbane, that's probably like 4,000 miles away from...
yeah, that's right in his backyard, though. I mean, close enough, right?
I don't know.
Same continent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You might have to walk across that big red desert with the weird mountain in the middle of it to get there.
But he can handle that. He's a tough Australian guy.
He's from Australia, yeah.
Yeah. All right, did we give him the $0 worth this week?
Yeah, I think so, and more.
I think we did. All right, we should probably sign off. There's tons of new music. I'll see if I can interest you in a couple new things for next week.
All right.
In the meantime, we should have like a sign-off slogan, right? Like other podcasts have like a sign-off.
Keep on the ground, keep reaching for
like
the stars.
You know, that's why we don't have a sign-off slogan, because they're always so corny.
They are. Yeah. What would it be? Yeah. Let's think about that. Maybe we'll take listener suggestions.
Yeah, we could. If somebody comes up with something so good that we can't refuse it, maybe we'll do it. So in the meantime, we'll just use our standard sign-off, which is we'll talk to you again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter @willsband. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.